him our hurts and beat him our doctrine. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows.
Yet he is stricken by God and afflicted.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So they took Jesus and went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write, King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture, which said, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, he said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated, Vernon. Tonight we stand at the cross. Tonight we hear the crowds and the shouting. Tonight we see the soldiers and the mockers. Tonight we see Jesus beaten, bleeding, dying, crucified. Tonight we stand at the cross. And we don't like it. We don't like this place because this is not the Jesus that we like to see. We like to see the Jesus whom the Father sent at the wedding in Cana, showing compassion for his host by creating fine wine out of ordinary water, pleasing all the guests in attendance. We like to see the Jesus who was sent by the Father as he holds little children in his arms, never mind the disciples running around trying to shoo them away. We can so easily picture Jesus with infants and toddlers in his arms and on his knees, laughing at their excitement and energy as he is blessing them. We like to see the Jesus that the Father sent as he makes a little bit of mud and puts it on the eyes of the blind man. Go wash yourself. And when he did, he could see. Imagine what a life-changing gift that was from our Lord. That's the Jesus we like to see. Not the Jesus tonight. We like to see the Jesus whom was sent by the Father feeding 5,000 people, probably more if you count wives and children, 2 fish and 5 loaves, and when it was over, there was 12 baskets of food remaining. We like to see the Jesus whom the Father sent as he raises Lazarus from the dead. What an unbelievable scene that must have been. Jesus weeping over the loss of his friend. Crowds wailing and mourning, sisters begging for something to be done. And then at Jesus' command, Lazarus walks out alive. Weeping and mourning turned into celebration and laughter. Tears of sorrow into tears of joy. And if we can't see the compassionate and loving Jesus, well, we will take the Jesus in the temple courts. You know the one, the table turning over Jesus, the wild whipping Jesus, the money changer chasing Jesus. Anything but the Jesus tonight. You see, we love to see the Jesus whom the Father sent with his word that calms seas, casts out demons, with his touch makes new crippled legs, deaf ears, and blind eyes, with his presence heals diseases, feeds the hungry, and gladdens the heart of the widows and orphans. We love to see the Jesus that the Father sent because we can look at all of those people and say, Jesus was sent because of them. And that's the exact reason why we don't like to see the Jesus tonight. That's the reason why we don't like to see the broken, bleeding, crucified Jesus. Because the Father has sent Jesus to this night because of me. I'm the reason that Jesus hangs on the cross tonight. And so are you. All the way back in the beginning, we see Adam and Eve are the reason why we are gathered here this evening. That faithful day in the garden, they decided not to believe God's promise. God promised them that if they ate from the fruit of the tree of good and evil, they would die. And ultimately, they did not believe him. They rejected the promise. And from that day forward, every sin is the same rejection. Every sin is not believing the Lord. That rejection, that lack of faith, plunges all of creation into a brokenness that cannot be repaired by human hands or will. I know this because Scripture tells me that I was sinful from the moment of my conception. From that very second, I am an enemy of God because all I can do of my own accord is to reject him and to not believe his promise. It is my very nature. I can do no other. But there's something about God that we may never fully grasp, and that's his abundance of grace and mercy. Instead of letting his creation spiral off into the oblivion of death and hell, he decides to do something that no one would ever think of. He takes the place of his rebellious creation. See, God cannot abide sin, nor can he let sin go unpunished. So he does the unthinkable. The Father sends Jesus to take my place and to take your place also. Why do I not like to see this Jesus tonight? Because I know me. I know my rejection. I know my lack of faith. My sin is ever before me because my sinful nature tells me that I am not worth it. My human nature says that I am not worth the beatings, the whippings, the scourging, the thorns, the nails, and the cross. And you know, it's right. I'm not. But God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. He does not look upon me tonight. He does not look upon you tonight and say, you, it's your fault that I am here. No, Jesus took upon this task upon himself willingly, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, because of the joy set before him. You and I
are that joy. Jesus looks down upon us tonight and says, you are all worth it. The mocking, the beard pulling, the insults, all of it, even death, it's all worth it. Because this means you get to spend eternity with me. I thank God every day that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he created a faith in me, as he has done for all of you, that believes the promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation from the cross. I may never fully understand how all of this works or even why, but Jesus said, believe in me, so we do. And to believe in Jesus and his actions on our behalf brings us back to the cross to see the Jesus we would rather not see. Any other Jesus, please. But see him tonight we must. For we are the reason we are here. But as we see him in this state, we see the greatest act of love ever seen. He trades his life for ours. He dies so that we might live. May we forever believe what took place on this night. Amen. Stand, confessor. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Gracious God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you gather us together at the foot of your Son's cross, that we may join with the eyewitnesses of his death and behold his all-sufficient sacrifice for our redemption.
Help us to know the real life that comes to us because of the wonderful exchange Jesus offered to us at the cross.
Lead us to see that our sin nailed him to the cross of Calvary.
Give us forsake my name, dear Father, so that he might never be forsaken. Deny us that we may live.
Lord Jesus, grant on this Friday we call good, that the promises of your word may be received by us all with a living faith.
Encourage our hearts and minds as we trust that all you have accomplished at Calvary was done for our salvation.
Holy Spirit, you unite us by baptism to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Guide us by your grace to know the power of sharing in his death, so that with him we may partake in his resurrection.
All glory, honor, and praise be to you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
May you see. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Oh, dearest Jesus, what one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "You are the Christ. Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for what we are receiving the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his sister's mother, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by men rejected, yes, his soul 'tis he. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Suppose the evil great, there may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Were you there when they crucified?
Then Jesus, calling out in a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last.